All right, now we're coming down toward the latter stages of the book of Revelation. How many have been here all the way through for the whole class? All right, very good. And so we're coming down now to chapter 19. So turn there in your Bibles to Revelation and chapter number 19 today. As you're turning there, you know how I like to ask you questions to get you thinking, and I'm going to do that today. As you're turning there, we've been looking at chapter 17 and chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. And somebody tell me, what is the main theme, what is the main thing being talked about in those two chapters? Revelation 17 and 18. Cynthia Sobotnik, very good.
The beast and the false prophet.
I would not say that would be the main thing. We've talked about the beast and the false prophet, but the main theme of those two, yes.
Babylon.
Yes, Babylon. Babylon, and you got it. Babylon. And what about Babylon? What is the main thing being emphasized in chapter 17 and 18 about Babylon? Marion?
It's going to be the center of riches, and it's going to draw all your nations to it, and
yes.
It's going to corrupt the wealth, and everything is going to corrupt everybody.
All right. I encourage you, by the way, to come out on watch night here. It's Wednesday, a week from this Wednesday. We'll be here for Christmas Eve service this Wednesday. I encourage you to be here for that. But a week from Wednesday, we have our New Year's service. And we're going to have a potluck dinner starting at 7 o'clock right here. Oh, boy. You know why they say bless you when you do that?
Because you miss the harpy.
No. It used to be called Gesundheit, you know, bless you. What it really stands for is that in the Middle Ages, people thought, in the Dark Ages, that when you sneezed, you lost your soul. And so they were saying bless you to restore your soul back to you. It's funny how we still do that. But I know what you're talking. You're probably coming down with something, right?
I hope not.
But where was I?
Babylon.
Babylon, yes. So in chapter 17 and chapter 18, Babylon is the center, as Mary had just said, of this world government. Now, we're going to have Wednesday a DVD on a big screen TV while we're having our potluck dinner. And we're going to show you an actual report on how we're already into world government right now and how it's already come together. And it's going to show you how it's being set up all over the world. It's already done. It's in different sectors. You're going to be amazed. It's going to be a report. And I encourage you to be here Wednesday, a week from this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Be here this Wednesday too, but a week from for the New Year's Eve. All right? Now, that government, that world government, is taking away the sovereignty of all the countries in the world. The United States, what Hitler couldn't do in conquering the world, Fabian socialism has done. Socialism. All right, we're already in the world government. Now, that's going to move to a place called Babylon in Iraq. Interesting, the United States has been in Iraq, and that's where world government's going to be. The UN's going to be there, world government's going to be centered there. And it's going to become a great dictatorship under the beast and false prophet. We're going to be serfs under all that. That's the way it's set up for world government. And these people have a global agenda. It's into our public schools, and kids are being educated in it. That's why I recommend getting kids out of public school, because they're brainwashing them into world government. The power to educate is the power to govern. Power to educate is the power to govern. They know that, and they took over the public school system. These globalists took over the public school system, and they had their evolutionary teaching, their anti-God, their anti-Christ teaching. You can't even say Merry Christmas anymore in many public schools. They don't want to say it, even though, according to our United States Constitution, there's nothing wrong with it. It's good. It's positive. I'm telling you, we're going closer and closer to the end times, and this is all part of it. You come a week from Wednesday, you'll see about that. But this Babylon is the center of it. Now, you told me close to the theme, but you haven't really told me the theme yet of Revelation 17 and 18. Babylon is a key, but what's the real emphasis? Yes, Denny?
It gets destroyed.
There it is. It gets destroyed. It gets destroyed. And in heaven, they're clapping. God is happy. The saints of God are happy. Why? What is going to become of this center thing? Yes.
Well, it's destroyed, and then it's a sign that Christ is going to be coming back.
Right. But why are the saints so happy that it's being destroyed? Other than just that Christ is coming back. Amen. But why are they happy? Yes.
Because they finally have got the judgment that they deserve.
Yes, but why? What is they do so bad? What is this world government going to do that's so bad? That really makes the saints happy in heaven. Bob?
They persecuted the saints.
The greatest persecution in the history of the world. The mark of the beast. Without the computer chip, you can't buy or sell, and they will martyr you if you don't take that. There will be persecution. There'll be internment camps and the whole bit. And by the way, that's already being set up. It's already being set up. You come a week from Wednesday, you're going to see it. It's amazing to you. It's not just in the Bible, it's in the news. And we'll show it to you, okay? So these things are happening, and we need to have our eyes open to them. And the media networks are mainly in the bag for this globalist agenda. And they're owned by these globalists. So you're getting brainwashing. Who is it? Joseph Goebbels, the Hitler propagandist, said about a lie, you tell a lie often enough and continuously enough and loud enough and everybody will believe it. Well, that's what's going on with the media. And so we're being brainwashed. And so we need to understand what the Bible says so that we don't get into this. Now, let's go into chapter 19 because this comes right along here, and kick off all your cell phones, or anybody's got cell phones on or anything like that, get them off. But anyway, we're going to be in chapter number 19 of Revelation, and let's look at that. And I'll read and you follow with me, chapter 19 and verse 1. It says there, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Look at verse 2. "For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged," notice that what we just said, "and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." The great whore is the UN, the one world financial system, the one world government, that is centered in Iraq. That's where it's all going to center, in Babylon, Iraq. Going to be the wealthiest place in the world, the center of world government. And the great whore is judged. By the way, what does God use to destroy the center of UN power at that time? Let's go with Alicia.
The beast.
Yes, he uses the beast himself to do that. Who is going to be the key man for the focus of the power of world government. He carries out the laws of the UN, and he carries out the laws of the mandate. In a sense, he is empowering that, and they're over him. They work together. The whore rides the beast, it says. Yeah, so she has a controlling influence. He gets sick of that, so he destroys her. What most likely will he use? Marion?
A nuclear bomb.
A nuclear weapon. And destroy that city. By the way, we could see cities in America destroyed by a nuclear weapon. It could happen. And by the way, there are some people believe that these globalists are behind these terrorist attacks. I don't believe that. Some of the guys that know a lot about world government, they say they're actually setting this stuff up. They're setting up 9/11. And so I don't believe that. I don't believe our government set up 9/11. I believe it happened by Islamic extremists just like it. I believe that. This is wacky stuff when they say that. However, and here's the key, Satan is using these crises to strengthen world government, you see? He's going to use it. And these people are using these crises. They think they're doing a good thing, many of them. They aren't thinking they're evil. The Bible says evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. Now, some of these globalists, they're all in conspiracy, you know, and they're planning. No. They're trying to do good. They're trying to do good. But they're deceived. And the devil and the demons are deceiving the world, you see. And so you have to understand that. And know it's a spiritual warfare that we're dealing with here. All right? And so this is going to happen. And the beast will destroy this world government at the very end of this. Now, this is all taking place. Let's remember where we are in Revelation, because we've been spending two chapters to look at Babylon, but we need to know when this takes place. Actually, if you go back to chapter 16, the end of chapter 16, there was an event that kicked all this off. And that's what we have to go back to, because now we're going to go forward with our continuation of the unfolding of time here. Where are we? What happened to kick all this judgment of Babylon off? An event. Remember, God is doing something in heaven, and it's kicking all this stuff off. What was that event? Let's go with Cynthia.
Well, I can remember it's when we had like tornadoes and major earthquakes and.
Well, actually, there we said there was a 100-pound hail of stones that would come from probably volcanoes that was kicked, and a major earthquake that will shake the whole earth. I mean, this is like a big final thing. It'll knock down all the mountains and cause this, you know, tremendous destruction. But what kicks all that off? Where are we?
We're in the last 30 days.
Yeah. We're in the last 30 days, and we're at the end of the last 30 days. And you mentioned the bowl days or the bowl judgment. What bowl judgment is it that we're at now? Remember, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. During the last 30 days, starting at day 5, I believe it is, all the bowls are starting at day 5. which bowl?
Would that be the 7th?
Yeah, it's the 7th. It's the 7th bowl. Go back to chapter 16 real quick here. Revelation chapter 16. And you'll see, now this goes, 19 is going to go with 16, so let's go to 16. And go with me to verse number 17, Revelation 16, 17. It says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial," that's a bowl, "into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" And then you have, Cynthia mentioned, the thunders, lightnings, and an earthquake, verse 18. "And then the great city was divided that into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon came into remembrance." Then they're going to talk about Babylon in two chapters of that. But it all happens after this final bowl is poured out of God's wrath. And that is going to destroy the earth, especially this earthquake that's going to just level everything. And the hail is going to fall, a hail of rocks upon people. And then this city of Babylon is going to be nuked by the beast. I mean, worldwide destruction. Most everybody will die. Yes?
Is there any book on Revelation that is almost like an outline?
Yes.
Of what, you know, this is what happens, you know, like almost like chapter by chapter or section by section. Is there a book you can buy that kind of breaks it down into an outline form?
Kind of like a commentary on Revelation.
Just on Revelation.
Unfortunately, I have not been able to find one. I've not been able to find one to suit me at this point yet.
You know, I mean, I find it much easier when I...
Now, I will tell you this. I'll tell you this. Marv Rosenthal is doing one in his magazine, Zion's Fire, right now. So if you get Zion's fire,
see, I do better when I can see it all together.
Yeah, if
you,
right, that would be what I would say. But it's coming out in segments right now. But it's being done. But yeah, that should be done. It would be helpful.
So you better write it, right?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that. I better work on that. I better get cracking on that.
You'll make a lot of money.
Yeah. I'll think about that. That'd be good. By the way, if you go on our church website, how many know our church website? If you go on our church website and you go under, it's Revelation, I think. Pastor's Notes on Revelation. It'll have an overview of the whole book of Revelation, right from chapter 1.
All right, well,
yep.
We'll do that.
And you could go right through that. Including right up to this point where we are. Yes.
What is the website?
ScrantonRevivalBaptist.org. So you just do ScrantonRevivalBaptist.org. Then you go under Pastor's Notes on Revelation or Revelation Notes.
It's on the side.
Yeah, it's on the side. You can just click onto it and then you can go back. And Bob Watson's smiling here because he is our man. He takes care of that website and does all the technical work on it. And I give him the credit. He does a tremendous job.
It's good. It really is good.
Good job on that. So make use of it. And yeah, that would be a help to you. We do have people all over the world that get on there too, from all over the world. All right. In fact, right now, this class is going out on the website. It will be on there. Bob will have it posted under audio sermons, right? Under Revelation. That'll be on there, too. You can click onto that. All right. So, in chapter 19 now, in heaven, there's this cheering because this seventh bowl has been poured out, and now all this destruction has taken place, and Babylon has been judged. You see, the world is going to get so bad, you're going to say, man, what are my family, what are my kids and I doing living in this world? Did you hear what I just said? Now, those of you that have been around a while, you understand what I'm saying anyway. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I wish I could tell you it's going to get better and better, nicer and nicer, and then Jesus is going to come. No, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, then Jesus is going to come. Okay? Just telling you the truth. The good news is Jesus is coming. The bad news is, before he comes, it's going to get worse and worse. And this world government is going to do this great persecution. And that's where we're headed. But here's the cheering, because the judgment has come and has destroyed the planet. And all this wickedness has been destroyed. But there's still somebody and something left. I mean, there are pockets of people that will no doubt be alive. The Bible says man will become as rare as the gold of Ophir. So there'll be a lot of people that won't be here then. But somebody is still surviving at this point. And we'll talk about that, who is still surviving at this point. All right, but let me say one more thing before we move on. These bowl judgments happened from day 5 to day 30. Remember, day 1 is when Christ touched down on the earth. Day 2, 1 and 2, he marched up to Jerusalem and he took all his people that were in hiding and they followed him. And on day 3, they get saved. Israel gets saved as a nation. And then day 4, the two witnesses are raised and they go back up into heaven. And day 5, Jesus hides his people in a place called Azel, when the earth opens up. So the Jewish remnant is hidden, it closes, it hides them. And day 5, he goes up on the Mount of Olives, it splits and changes the whole landscape. And the Lord is there on Mount Zion, and then he goes to the Mount of Olives, and it splits. And hides his people, like I said. And then he goes back into heaven. After he hides his people, he goes back up into heaven. And between day 5 and day 30, the judgment seat of Christ has taken place in heaven that we saw in Revelation 11. And then while he's in heaven, these judgments, these bowl judgments are taking place on earth. And this last period of judgments, the bowl judgments, are called the reclamation period, when he is reclaiming the earth for himself. And really, the last 30 days are all the reclamation period, when he touches down on the earth and he does all this. He's reclaiming the earth for himself. But now he's back in heaven. Yes, Denny?
Now, does Armageddon come after the sevenfold?
Yes. Okay. That's exactly right.
That's what I thought. I knew this before.
That's exactly right. Armageddon is the very last hurrah. That's the end. All right, and that gets me to what I wanted to say here, that what is surviving at this point? There's only one thing that's surviving, and that is mainly all the armies of the world government under the control of the beast. So the beast is going to have the armies of China, Japan, India, United States, Canada, European Union, of course, where he centers his power. He'll have it all. And they'll all gather to a place called Armageddon. It's a plain over in Israel, about 60 miles in length and so forth. And it will be about 60 miles, and it will, well, 60 miles north of Jerusalem, I believe it is. And it will be a plain that Napoleon called it the world's greatest battlefield. And that's where the final war is going to take place. Now, who will the final war involve? Who will fight in the final war? You know, you have a war, you have armies that fight. Who's actually fighting? Let's go with Joe over here.
Satan.
Well, we know Satan's behind it all, but who are the actual armies? Let's get the armies here. Yes, Mary?
Well, Syria, Russia.
Well, it's kind of simpler than that. If we could just make it really simple. Eric?
The armies of the world against Jesus.
Yeah, that's it. The armies of the world against Jesus and his angels. Now, some people say it's the saints, us. I don't believe that, because we're the bride of Christ, and later in Revelation we're going to come down with the New Jerusalem. So I don't believe he's taking his bride to fight the church. It's his angels. So it's Jesus and his angels against the beast and his armies. Who do you think is going to win that one? you see, now the Lord could have ended this a long time ago, but he knows what he's doing. And it's all going to be fulfilled just like it said. His first coming, every prophecy was fulfilled just like it said. I don't care if people don't believe it. God's word is going to be fulfilled. That's why we're teaching the word of God here, not some man's word. Okay? I'm glad I'm teaching the word of God. I'm glad that I'm doing what I'm doing. Thank God. I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing. Because this thing is going to last. And I looked at the last chapter. This is it as far as the war is concerned. This is it, chapter 19. We're going to end at 22, but this is it. I looked at the last chapter and I found out who wins. You ever read a book and you look at the end and find out who wins? This is it. I found out who's going to win. And the Steelers are going to play today. And I hate it when I'm watching a football game and I'm rooting for a team and I don't know who's going to win. Because you're worried about your team. But I know who's going to win. Chapter 19, look at verse number 4. It says, "And the 24 elders and the four beasts fall down and worshiped. And they and God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia." Now remember these guys, these 24 elders and the four beasts. We saw them in chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation just before the 70th week. And remember that these guys are right up close to the throne of God. And they worship God. We believe there are high-ranking angels that are there. Some people believe the 24 elders represent high saints of God. But the best interpretation, they represent angels of God before the throne. And then it says in verse 5, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and all ye that fear him, both small and great." All right, now there's praise. And then he says, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Now, why are they saying that? They're saying that because he's going to reclaim the earth here. He's just about to do it. And one thing stands in his way, and that is the armies of the beast. No sweat. That is the world government and all their armies. No sweat. By the way, that may be armies of demons. And I believe it may be that demons will come out and we may have a quote unquote visitation of UFOs. And we may see these little guys come out with their cute little faces saying, we've come here to bring world peace. And we're going to help out Barack Obama. And we're going to help out the head of the European Union. We're going to help out all these people working together for world peace and global unity. And we're going to help out with prosperity. And instead of fighting one another over religion and all this garbage, we're going to bring you together. Wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't that be interesting if they appear with this false Christ or this Antichrist, who will be a religious figure, a miracle worker? All right, let's go on, because I got to get to something. I don't want to run out of time here. And notice what it says here. Now, this is very interesting. Notice what it says here. Where am I? What verse are we on? All right. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give honor to him and glory for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, what is this about? All of a sudden, we're getting ready to cream the armies of the beast, and now we're talking about a wedding. And a wife that's made herself ready for the wedding. What's this about? Mary?
The Lamb is Christ. He's coming back, and Israel is the wife for Israel.
Well, now, this is in heaven.
Oh, this is in heaven.
Yeah, this is in heaven. Denny?
Death at 140,000?
No, they're
under the altar.
They're the 12 tribes of Israel. They're the 12 tribes of Israel. The ones under the altar are the tribulation martyrs. So no, that's not the 144,000. They're more likely the ones hidden, you know, at Azel when he hides them with the other remnant. Who is the Lamb?
The Lamb is Jesus, but the wife is everybody who was saved and brought up to heaven.
That's it. Didn't forget about us, did you?
No.
That's us. We were raptured way back between the sixth and seventh seal, before the trumpet judgments, before the wrath of God, sometime during the second half of the 3.5 years, and we were raptured, all right? Now, once the 7 years is complete, Jesus is coming back to rescue the Jewish remnant and hide them, and on the 30 days... he is going to begin to do that, and then day five or day six, then he goes back up to heaven. And what's going to happen as soon as he gets up to heaven, we've already been having a reunion during the last 3.5 years in heaven with our loved ones, right, and the Lord. But then after that reunion, what's the first thing that Jesus is going to do? Revelation 11 talks about it. After day five, when he goes back up into heaven between day five and day 30, or day six and day 30, and the Battle of Armageddon, what's the first thing that he's going to do in heaven during that time? Mary?
Is he going to give them their rewards?
He's going to give them their rewards. Very good. We're all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to have to give account to him for how we lived after we got saved. Did you get baptized? Did you join the church? Did you invest your life to bring others to Christ with the church, with the soul-winning church? Did you base your life on the Word of God, on the King James Bible? Did you live a life of obedience to me in the power of the Holy Spirit? If you did that, it will last. If you did that, you'll get the benefit of it. You'll get the blessing of it. If you didn't do that, the Bible says you'll be saved, but by fire. The fire will burn up all your work. Your life will look like a bunch of wood and hay and grass, stubble, that just burns in a fire. And all you'll have left is just your life, you. But all your works will be burned up since you got saved. And your reward in the kingdom of God will be, you won't have a reward. It's very important for us, once we're saved, to invest our life in the Lord's work. All right? And so that's what's going to be going on in heaven. Now, if you're really saved, though, if you're really saved, all of your sins, the moment you believe on Jesus, were paid for by Him, and then His perfect obedience covers you and your nakedness, so that you are covered by His perfect obedience in the eyes of God. You're looked upon as perfectly righteous. That's called imputed righteousness. Your sin is imputed or put to Christ's account. His righteousness is put to your account, and God looks at you as though you'd never sinned, as though you'd obeyed perfectly everything in the Bible. Now, when He does that, and by the way, the Catholics say that that is something that, if God sees you live a good enough life, eventually He declares you're righteous. No, the moment you put your faith in Jesus, the righteousness of Christ is given to you, and you're saved, and you're declared righteous. That's called imputed righteousness. But when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, and He begins to impart the righteousness of Christ into your life so that you live righteously. No matter, even if you don't have rewards, listen to me, even if you don't have rewards, still, if you're a born-again Christian, you have a new way to live. You don't live like you used to live. You may fail to serve God as you ought. You may fail to invest your life as you ought. But you can't live like you used to live. And that's called imparted righteousness. That's when the Lord imparts His obedience to you by the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason I said that, I want you to look at this and go to verse 8. It says, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So what is going to be the wedding dress? It's going to be this life that we've lived after we got saved. All the sin is cleansed away from that life, and we're left with that, with the deeds of a life that was lived for Christ. So even though you might not have rewards, you're going to have a life that has been lived differently, and that's what's going to remain. And so that's going to be the dress that we'll be dressed in at the wedding. And there's going to be a wedding in heaven that will be held there after the judgment seat of Christ, and there'll be a celebration. And notice what it says in verse 9. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. What usually happens after a wedding? When the wedding is done, what's the first thing that you have after a wedding? Cynthia?
Reception.
It's a reception. And at the reception, you eat, right? And all that good stuff. After this wedding in heaven, Christ is going to come down to the earth with us later, and there's going to be a marriage supper on the new earth with His bride. And the angels are going to wait at the tables, and that's going to be the reception. And that's what this is talking about, okay? All right, now let's go forward. And verse 10 says, and I fell at His feet to worship Him, and He said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, this was just an angel, and John was going to worship the angel. And the angel said, no, wait a minute. I got this prophecy from Jesus. I gave it to you. Jesus got it from the Father. Jesus is God. The Father's God. I'm just an angel. Don't worship me. All right? And then it says, and I saw heaven opened. Now here we are, and I saw heaven open. The wedding is over, and now it says, I behold heaven open, and behold a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. By the way, He's clothed in a vesture or garments dipped in blood. He's coming on a horse. He's got the angels following Him. This is battle. He's done with the marriage now. Now He's going to war. Jesus. This is Jesus, sweet Jesus. He's going to war. He's going to war. He's going to kill. Make no mistake about it. He's going to kill people. He's going to kill armies on earth, soldiers. He's going to war. You say, that's not the Jesus I under. That's what it says. Why is his vesture dipped in blood?
Because when he was here on the earth,
you're on the right track.
He gave up his life for us, and the blood that he lost on the cross that was shed, like I said, for us, with the blood that...
All right.
I believe.
All right. When he was on earth, he did shed his blood, and that blood paid for our way into heaven. That blood was put in heaven on the mercy seat, the Holy of Holies. But I don't believe that's the blood that his vesture is dipped in. Yes?
Is it the blood of all of us saints who have been persecuted and died?
I don't believe that is the blood. Yes?
It's the blood of those that he's coming back to destroy.
Yeah, remember, he already landed on earth. He's already been on earth. Day one, day two, remember that? Remember when he came up to protect his people? He was killing people then. The Bible says, who is this? In the Old Testament, it says, who is this whose garments are dyed with blood from Basra? He's been coming up from Jordan, and he's marching with his people. And remember, they're being killed, and he's killing. He's killing his enemies. Remember, these people have the mark of the beast. They're his enemies. He's killing them. You say Jesus killing people? Yes. Yes. He's killing them. His bloody garments are still have the blood of his enemies on them. He hasn't taken them off, or if he took them off for the wedding, he's put them back on to go to war. That's his battle garb. And he's saying, I've got blood, but I'm not done shedding blood. There's going to be a lot more blood. You say, Pastor, you're talking a lot of blood here. Yeah, how much blood is it going to be? Denny? Up to the bridle of a horse. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to actually flow that high like a river, but it'll at least splatter that high, you know. It'll be splattered that high. There's a lot of blood. And he's going to come back and he's going to kill his enemies. And we need to realize that judgment of God. And it speaks about his eyes, verse 12, being a flame of fire. And his head, many crowns, because that's his authority. And he had a name written. When he came the first time, they shed his blood. Amen? When he comes back again, he's going to shed their blood. It's what the Bible says. He came the first time as a lamb. When he comes back again, he's going to come back as a lion. That's what the Bible says. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. As I said, I believe these are the angels. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1, the angels will come back with him in flaming fire to take vengeance. And it says in verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite, that means kill, the nations. Nations are people, the armies. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You know when you get in a winepress, women get in a winepress and they hold their skirts up and they jump on the grapes. And men get in there and they jump up and down. The blood of the grapes splatters all over their garments. That's what he's talking about here. And he's saying he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to repossess the earth. He's coming. Satan's not going to give up without a fight. And the Lord is saying, all right, here is the fight. God is a God of judgment. Now, he doesn't have out of control anger. His anger, though, when it's poured out, is poured out. Man, I wanted to get to this, and I didn't. I wanted to get to this. I've got to do it. I've got to read this to you. Just in case it happens now. For 30 years, I've been watching Benjamin Krem's Maitreya. Benjamin Krem is a Scotsman, and he says that Christ has appeared, and he's been living in London since 1977. And Maitreya is Christ to the Buddhist. Krishna is him to the Hindus. Christ is to the Christians. Messiah to the Jews. He says that this Maitreya will be to every religion, the Muslim imam, he will be the Christ. And he's here. He's here on earth. Now, this is like the Antichrist. I'm not saying it is the Antichrist, but it is like the Antichrist. Because he'll be a religious leader, do miracles, and he will give worship to the political leader. Oh, I'm not going to have time. Anyway, he's saying there's a great star that's going to appear in the sky. 1 week after that star appears, he's going to go on TV, and he's going to be interviewed. Everybody will hear him in their own language. Everybody will hear him in their own language. He didn't say when. He doesn't say it'll be this Christmas. But it could be. But I didn't say when. All right. I've been watching this. Listen to me. I've been watching this for 30 years. Great deception. Now, he also has all these wise masters that will be with him. They're highly evolved beings. Could they be demons? Could they be the demons that will lead people astray to believe the Christ? And could this be like an Antichrist or the Antichrist? I don't know. But his agenda is the same as all these globalists that we're talking about. Okay? Watch for all this stuff. There's going to be this Antichrist. He's going to appear. A religious leader. Be aware. Be aware.
What website is that, Pastor?
All you got to do is click on to ScrantonRevivalBaptist.org. Go under Prophecy Watch. Look for this thing on the Antichrist or the False Christ or whatever it is. I forgot the title of it. Click on to that. And you'll see all kind of things that you can get into on this.
There was a movie made about that.
I'll tell you what. Tonight we have our Christmas play. After the Christmas play, I'm going to close with some words about Christ and Christmas. And I'll share a little bit about this. Okay? All right. We'll stop there.